time through. You have to be prepared to turn it off.
In the darkest hour, when I cannot breathe, fear is on my chest, the weight of the world on me. Everything's crashing down, everything I have known. When I wonder if I'm all alone, I remember.
I remember you're always there with me is the name of the song. In today's parashat, it says the following, Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. Yet the chief of the cupbearers did not remember Joseph. Indeed, he forgot him. This Joseph is 30 years old now. 30 years old. That means that he's been in captivity in this thing for 13 years. He's a teenager. The years are gone. When he gave that information to the cupbearer and the baker, he asked them, you know, if indeed it comes to pass, then remember me. You know, Yeshua said the same thing at the Passover Seder. Remember me. But the scripture says, the cupbearer forgot. Just get an idea where Joseph is at right now. What's going to turn out to be on this anniversary, the anniversary of this event, when he gave him the information and he forgot. He's in jail. He's not seeing any light of the day he's in a pit. Okay? And it's not fun there, but he's doing great job for the Egyptian. Seems like he's always doing good stuff for everybody. And, you know, he brings good news for everybody, but not everybody's thankful. And even though clearly the Potiphar was thankful for all he was doing, and clearly the warden here is faithful too. You know, and this warden doesn't say what we got here is a failure to communicate. They did communicate, and Joseph is in the bottom of a pit where the jail is, and he gets to, one more time, exercise his gift. He has a gift of interpretation. He has a gift of seeing. What has that gift done for him so far? When he shared it with his brothers, they hated him. When he shared it again with the rest of the family, his own dad said, "Are we really going to bow down before you?" Although the dad, even though he said that, still loved him and so on. And now he's sold. And he goes, ends up at Potiphar's house. And over time, he becomes he's still a slave. But he's still a person of integrity. He's still so he's doing this, and something else goes wrong. And he ends up at the jail. And now he's doing best he can in the jail. And people want to say, well, Joseph, how about interpreting this dream for me? Or how about this? Or how about that? And I think of myself then, listen, every time I've done this, I get nothing but trouble. I've done this so much, it's nothing but trouble. What good is it going to do me in here in this hole? But he goes ahead and does it because the gift doesn't belong to him. The gift is a gift from the Almighty himself. And so he still is holding on to some hope. Don't you see it? You see it when he tells, okay, this is what your dream means. But then he adds, okay, so it's done. Don't forget me. The scripture says, but he did. Okay, so Joseph goes back to the hole. And we have to wait till the next parasha to actually. But anyway, how long is he there? 2 years to the day. On the anniversary of his saying that, the scripture says a Pharaoh has a dream. Sam elucidated on the dream at the beginning, so I don't need to. And the first thing he does is, okay, I have some paid seers. And so there are a lot of paid people. Okay, there's a whole bunch of people in Egypt that are on the payroll for this moment such as this. So he goes to them, okay, boys, what does this mean? And nobody can interpret. If it was Ahasuerus, there would be big, big, big trouble. Have them all killed, hung from the gallows. Okay, but when he comes to the cupbearer, he goes, if I tell the Pharaoh, I also have to tell the Pharaoh where I got this from and who it is. And, I mean, he's trembling. That cupbearer is trembling, hearing the Pharaoh and his dream, and nobody can interpret. Nobody. You talk about it, a frustrated leader. You kidding me? So what am I paying all you people for? The cupbearer deals with the... And actually, the scripture records some of that agony. Pharaoh, when you sent me there, but I wasn't guilty, but you sent me. That I don't think that's going to work. So let me try again. Pharaoh, when I was in the jail, before I came out, I had a dream, and this person there interpreted it. Sure enough, I was released, and you released me. And he predicted it precisely. I think he'd be somebody who you could perhaps check him out. Now, it costs you nothing. He's in your jail. A couple of little details. He sends for him. But the Pharaoh doesn't go to the jail, does he? The Pharaoh is like the centurion. I tell this one to go here, and he goes. And I tell this one to go here, and he goes. The Pharaoh tells somebody. So who do you think he told? Have you ever thought about it? Who do you think he told? He's going to tell his... right-hand person. You know what his right-hand person's name is? Potiphar. You can just imagine Potiphar right now. Also. Man. The Pharaoh wants me to go get Joseph. I put him there. He goes and gets him, And immediately realizes, like every good attendant to the Pharaoh, he ain't in no position to come before the Pharaoh. He stinks, and you know, and he smells like poop, all that stuff. So the scripture says, and Sam didn't elaborate, but he said that he got a new garment. He got a bath and he got a new garment. So did that appear from the air, okay? Like they called Amazon and they had an immediate delivery, right? This is Potiphar. So where's he going to get garments like that? He owns them. He knows exactly what size Joseph is and all those things. So he goes, I'm ensuring you, even though the scripture doesn't say to you, that it is Potiphar who gets Joseph ready to go to the Pharaoh. He comes to the Pharaoh, and the cupbearer is trembling, and Potiphar is trembling too. What's Joseph going to say? Is he going to say, well, that scoundrel, Potiphar. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, but the man has integrity, which we've seen. And he doesn't look at the cupbearer like, and he doesn't look at Potiphar like, he just interprets the dreams. And then when he's finished interpreting the dream, as Sam said, he goes on and says, all right, the Lord that gave you that information, the Almighty God, has given you wisdom, and this is just for you, for your consumption. You ought to, you know, think about however you say it to a Pharaoh. I'll just say what the scripture says. You ought to get somebody in range, get somebody that's smart in Egypt that knows what to do to essentially store food for 7 years. So that there will be 7 years of food afterwards. He got through, and the Pharaoh and the court and everybody else is going like, yeah, that was wisdom, all right. The Pharaoh doesn't consult with Potiphar or any of his smart people. He just decided himself, there's no one more wise than you. I couldn't find anybody here to interpret it. You're it. And then he goes on, as Sam said, and gives them authority. Well, if in your heart you were ready to take vengeance,
you're only second to me. You even got my ring and everything. In fact, I'm going to give you a wife. I have a trusted servant right next to me. Don't you see the irony of it all? And he gives him his own daughter, which is Potiphar and his Potiphar's wife's daughter. It's a small world turnaround. This is a big turnaround. From rag to riches in no time at all. Plus wife. Plus, you know. So take inventory. Okay, before I was in charge of Potiphar's house. Now I'm in charge of all of Egypt. Before I wasn't sure if there was ever going to be a wife. Now I have Potiphar's wife, daughter. Potiphar's wife and his wife's daughter. She probably was pretty good looking, huh? Was rich anyway. That's the situation. But look, this all happens on the day, on the anniversary. Okay. The last time he got excited about something happening, nothing happened. Another miserable day in the jail. Another two. On the anniversary of that, it's like, don't you think he thought about, boy, I trusted these guys. You know, they're called comrades. I'm not trying to be anything from Russia or anything. They are called comrades in the jail. To my comrade. He could just be my comrade. Another year goes by, and he probably hates to even, what? This is the anniversary of 2 years ago. Oh, nobody's thinking about it, I assure you, but he is. Like you and I would, huh? Just like you and I would. So, who can you trust? Who can you trust? Can you trust your comrades? Can you trust your friends? Can you trust your companions? Answer, not my brothers. Not my employer. Not the people that I serve with. And not my comrades and fellow companions in this miserable jail. Ain't no one, man. But Joseph was not devoid of trust, was he? That is no one except the Almighty himself. And Joseph trusted in the Almighty himself. His life is a perfect example of all of that. 13 years have passed since Joseph was first sold as a slave. Have you been trusting Yah that much? Have you been trusting Yah Adonai that much? Can you imagine trusting that much? I want you to know the following. Joseph trusts, but he ain't forgotten. He's not forgotten a thing. Okay? And we'll see in this what goes all the way to the key. There's people say the key verse in Genesis is Genesis 3, where it says, and I will put enmity between you and your seed. And that's a key verse. For me, it's Genesis 50:20. What you, my brothers and my family, meant for evil, Adonai meant for good. And so it is this day that you are all safe and you were spared from dying. So the book of Genesis ends with that, just about with that quote. What you meant for evil. He's not saying, oh no, what y'all did, well, thinking. No, no. You meant it for evil. Adonai meant it for good. A couple of little things, and then I'm going to get into more of the meat of this with the 12 minutes I have for myself. He has two sons from the Gentile lady that he just was candid. One of the sons is named, the oldest one is named Menasheh. What does Menasheh mean? Menasheh means, okay, it means because has God has caused me to forget all my trouble and all my father's and all of my father's house. May I forget. Okay? It's not may I remember. Oh no, he's not in trouble remembering. He's that's always with him, like it is with us, right? And so the problem is not that. The problem is that he doesn't remember. He remembers, okay. He's having trouble forgetting. So he names his son Menasheh because maybe now with the son and things, the way things are going, I can forget. And he has another son. The second son's name, the youngest one's name is Ephraim. Ephraim comes from a root that means fertile land or pasture land. Joseph's intention in naming that son Ephraim is, it says in Genesis 41:52,
God has made me fruitful in the land of my oppression. Notice what he said. He's the viceroy of Israel, of Egypt at this point. He's in the top. He's in the top of the food chain. But this Egypt is not the land of his greatness. It's the land of his oppression. Ooh, I think this really is a great quote. Let me remind you of the business we're in. The business we're in, the companions that we're in, the situations that we're in are best explained by a quote from the prophet Isaiah. God's ways are not our ways. For as far as heaven is from the earth, so far is his ways from my ways. Okay? And there's another verse in scripture that I want to bring out. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. The King James says people perish. In other words, keep these two things in mind, one in one pocket, one in the other, okay? Joseph is still not forgotten a thing about what's been happening to him. He's not just all of a sudden become an Egyptian. He's not an Egyptian. He's not forgotten God. Okay? And I'm sure that he has to think about, well, everybody will worship me but nobody should worship me but you, even if I'm in Egypt. So there's probably some situations he has to deal with all the time. Like, Lord, they're doing this. This is in this country, but this is not what I would want to do. I would tell them to just get up. Don't worship me. Worship you. But God's ways are not our ways, and that's the problem. The problem is we want to turn Adonai into a human being, into another way like what we do and we deal with things. One of the beautiful things I like about what Sam's doing is that every week when I come, I go, I didn't have that right. Like, that's an uncanny way of identifying some thought that I had or some belief that I had that is, today was no exception. But I want to tell you something. Vision comes from him. Vision comes from him. It's not just goals and dreams, okay? Life is not about goals and dreams completely. Vision, without the vision, everything goes to the grave. So we need his strategy. We need his plan. We need his knowledge. We need his goals. In other words, we need a revelation from the Almighty. We need a Yah revelation to go through. That's how we're going to get direction. That's going to be our Google map. The revelation that comes from him. But did you know that it's not when he's really interested in bringing something great through you or me or anybody else, he often causes the death, even the double and triple death of the vision. So Joseph had a vision about, you know, his family and so on, and he ends up without a family in a foreign land. Okay? And then all of this is going on, and it's like, man. By the way, where did he get that vision? I know where he got in a bazooka bubblegum thing. You all know what I'm talking about. You're old enough. Yeah. Oh, no. Wait a minute. It was in a cookie. Right? It was in a fortune cookie. No, he got that straight from Adonai, right? He got it straight from the master. He got it straight from the horse's mouth. He got it straight from heaven. All he's doing is doing what his vision has been given, what what's inside of him that the Lord's given. And all this cost so far? Nothing but a heartache. You ain't nothing but a heartache. Right? I didn't understand this. It's one of those great revelations that I've had in my life. Because the deaths that are really being talked about are all related to the potential gifting he has given us. They're related to that. With the dreams and interpretation, which clearly came from Yah as a gifting to Joseph, what's it served them so far? Nothing. He ain't got nothing. He is. But he keeps doing it. He keeps doing it. In fact, when he does it in the jail, he has hope that, hey, if you remember me, etc. And then he's learned the lesson. That's not it. So even when he tells Pharaoh all of this, he doesn't ask Pharaoh, okay, what about me? He's only concerned about Pharaoh. And Pharaoh discerns that and elevates him to an unfathomable position. Yesterday, I was in the jail. Today, I'm numero dos. Let me ask a question to you. Do you have a vision from Adonai? Do you have a vision, or do you have a vision from Adonai? If you have a vision from God, if you have a vision from God, there's a word that I'm going to play. Do a play on words. Is that okay if I do a play on words? If you have a vision from God, if you have a revelation from God, the first thing you have to do is believe it, right? You have to believe it. You're not going to put it to action if you don't believe it. So you have to believe it. Okay? You have to have the understand that vision is from Adonai and you're to trust him completely. But you have to believe it. You have to be believing it. Let me use the word believing it. Believing. B-E, leaving, not L-I-V-I-N, but L-E-A, leaving. Believing. Okay? I've found some interesting ideas about, let's be about leaving, which is close to Lech Lecha, which I spoke about some weeks ago. But anyway, number of things that the scripture says about be about leaving, believing. Believing. Leaving life to gain it. Leaving life to gain it. In other words, we need to die to our own nature. That's in Revelation 12:11. We must leave our comfort zone in order to bring forth the vision from Adonai. Number two, leaving room for the believing. Be about leaving room for the Ruach, the Spirit of God, to guide you. Don't fill your space with your own spirit. Let Yah fill the space through his spirit. You need to leave the secular in order to search for holiness. Be about leaving the believing, believing the secular to think about holiness. Okay? We need to do this every day, reminding ourselves that we have to leave the secular behind because it comes around all the time. Don't you think Joseph did that? What situation? He didn't continue to act based on the situation. He acted based on what he is gifting from God and is trusting God. Leaving emotional and impulsive soul zone and entering the zone of body, soul, and spirit worship. Get in the zone, auto zone, you know? Okay, here we go. I can speak your language. Next thing, leaving certain things in the world in order to do ministry. That means you have to make difficult choices, such as, do I tell these people in the jail? What good are they going to do me? What difference does it matter if two of these people get in the jail or not? We're already here. Number six, leaving the ministry if Adonai directs you. Oh, somehow ministry carries with it this staying power. I got this ministry and it's forever. I'm not sure. Can he direct you to do something else and you'd be, We have to have a willing heart to change directions, okay? Number seven, leaving your family and maybe your children in order for them to grow into independence. You thought I was going to say something else. Leaving your children, you know, you have to be like the eagle. Okay, boys and girls, you're now ready to do the world. Hey, mommy, from way up there. Sink or swim, okay? I mean, start flopping the wings and go get your own food and so on. You know, it is hard to let our kids grow up. It's hard to let them become those people that are going to be independent. I only had two. They left me. When Amelise was ready to move out of the house, she just said, "Well, Dad, you got me ready for this a long time ago." She didn't sing, but she could have sang, "Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee and the levee was dry. And good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this will be the day that I die. I'm going on my own. See ya!" Drove away. Leaving Jas Fragens behind to impart his presence to others. He can't stay in his company the whole time. And it's great to be in his company. It's great to be worshiping and praising him and all those things. But we've got to do some work. We've got to get other people. And leaving an inheritance, number nine. We need to have a long-term vision and raise the foundations of many godly generations. But leave him something. Number 10, leaving things up to Adonai. Believing things up to Adonai. What does that mean? Surrender your will. Let him do it his way. You mean you intended for me to be sold 13 years, and Genesis 50, 30, you know, 19 could have been, "Listen, God, you've been messing with me." But that wasn't the end. At the end, he summarized it perfectly. He tells his brothers, "What you intended for evil, Adonai meant it for good. Don't fear me. I'm not going to do anything to you." Wow. I tell you what, we have vision. Vision is what we receive, is what we see, is what we lose. We lose vision. It is how we get discouraged when we notice the difference between what we know, which is envision, and what actually is reality. There's a difference between envision and reality. In spite of the success in our endeavors, we will also experience failures. It's for everybody. I believe it's important to be honest about ourselves and honest about our motives. Or we might not be able to make it where Adonai wants us to go. Everything looks great looking back. It was awesome looking back. But when we first moved to this city, it was hard. It was hard. We weren't sure if where we are now to this day is where he wanted us to be. The first time I was gone, Marilyn had to call the neighbor because there were all these noises outside. They're killing somebody. Pete, they're killing somebody. So Pete get his gun because he was a military guy and, you know, a Marine. He comes with his gun ready. And She's not even coming outside. She's talking to him from the window up there. I wasn't there, but I can just imagine. So he looks at her and says, "It's a bird." It's a bird! He says, "It's a bird, Marilyn." He just, this is Pete, right? But this he was TJ's boss for years. She knows him better than I do. Gets in the car and drives off. He didn't say another word. He never said a word to me. When failures come, when situations get difficult, we want to ask the question, what am I doing here? What am I doing? What are the questions we're going to ask? Am I in the right place? Am I in the right place? What are the questions? Is this really God's will? Because it doesn't sound like God's will to me. Really, it can't be God's will for me to be in this jail. Right? But I believe it's important to be honest about ourselves and honest about our motives. Or we might not be able to make it where Adonai wants us to go. Ultimately, because hardship and opposition will surely come. Let me just say that again. Hardship and opposition will surely come. Did you think that saying the name of Adonai doesn't make somebody mad? The devil doesn't like you. If you trust Adonai and Adonai this and Adonai that, okay. That one is a pain in our kingdom. Let's get some of the best torturers and go over there and send them to torture. So what are you going to do when he sends the best ones? You get your golden sword. You get the thing that makes them run. You say, in the name and the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, be gone. Figure it out. A vision to keep going, regardless of circumstances, because the circumstances are against you. This rabbi is telling you. You need a vision to get going, regardless of circumstances, because the circumstances are stacked against you. I believe that if we can catch a fresh vision in these days, we're going to go somewhere. We can do something very special. If we are able to renew what Yah gave us, we'll be able to serve him and be happy. So on the anniversary of Joseph's forgotten day, the cupbearer remembered Joseph. Joseph realizes, but Adonai never forgot. The rest is history. Amen. Shabbat shalom.